Hello, my name is Mike, and we're doing our current series in the book of Acts at the moment, and it's entitled Jesus is Lord. It's certainly true to say that Jesus' lordship was very evident during his earthly ministry with his miracles, as recorded in the four Gospels. The blind received their sight, the lame could walk, the lepers were healed, even the dead were raised to life. But with Jesus not now on the scene in person, surely those kinds of miracles are gone. Well, Acts chapter 9 tells us a very different story. The Apostle Peter is doing sort of an itinerant ministry. We're told in verse 32 that he traveled about the country. He reached Lydda in the southwest of ancient Palestine and visited the Lord's people there, presumably to encourage them in their newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps to train up new leaders to lead the new church there. And so to miracle number one, a paralyzed man is healed. Peter gets to Lydda and comes across a paralyzed man there called Aeneas. Whether Aeneas was a Christian believer or not, we're not told. But what we are told is that his condition was radically changed the day that he met Peter. Aeneas had been bedridden for 8 years, but not for much longer. Verse 34, Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. I have three comments to make about this wonderful miracle. The first is, it's Peter, a mere human being, who gives the bold command to the paralyzed Aeneas, much like he did in the healing of the lame man at the temple gate in Acts chapter 3. Second, the bold command is given not with Peter's own personal authority, but with the authority of Jesus. Jesus Christ heals you, Peter boldly announces. Jesus may not be on the scene in person, but his lordship is plain for all to see. The risen and ascended Christ has made this miracle possible. The healing is given in his name. And thirdly, notice the unmistakable similarity to the healing of the paralyzed man recorded in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus says to that man, get up, take up your mat, and go home. It seems like Peter was following almost to the letter his master. And just as with Jesus' healing of the paralytic, where it's recorded, immediately he stood up, so with the healing of Aeneas. In verse 34, immediately Aeneas got up. Instant and miraculous healing. And the response to it was overwhelmingly positive. Verse 35, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. These were a people who made the only obvious choice open to them, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the only choice that made real sense. When Jesus healed the paralyzed man, people were amazed. But here, they're converted. God is doing a new thing at this time. And so to miracle number two. A dead woman is raised to life. The Apostle Peter continued his stay in Lydda. Maybe the weather was nice and he was enjoying seeing people there and teaching the gospel. Then one day, two Christian men arrived from Joppa, the modern-day coastal town of Jaffa, about 20 k's from Lydda. They said to Peter urgently, please come at once. and Peter escorted them to Joppa. The reason that Peter was needed there was because a faithful believer and servant of Jesus had died. Her Aramaic name was Tabitha. Her Greek name was Dorcas. But both names mean gazelle. Tabitha lived up to her name, gazelle. She was a swift operator, making clothes for many, helping the poor, and always doing good, verse 36. She was clearly much loved, and when she fell ill and died, when Peter was still ministering in Lydda, they obviously realized he was there and sent for him. And meanwhile, Tabitha's body was washed, the customary act of purification. But then instead of her body then being anointed and buried, it was placed in an upper room and left there. And Peter was summoned. But why leave the body there? Well, the only answer that makes any sense is that the faithful of Joppa believed if Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, maybe an apostle like Peter, one of the original 12 chosen by Jesus personally, well, maybe he could raise Tabitha. Peter arrives on the scene and we recognize another very clear echo from Jesus' own ministry. Grieving women were crying, and everyone is sent from the upstairs room where Tabitha is laid. It is so reminiscent of the scene recorded in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus arrives at the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, having been summoned to heal Jairus' daughter. On that occasion, women cried, people were sent away, and only Jesus, the girl's parents, and Peter, James, and John were admitted to the room with Jesus himself. This time, only Peter goes in. But once again, he knows what he needs to do. But his style of ministry is very different to Jesus. And there's a reason for that. He's not his Lord. He's not God with divine powers of his own. So Peter, even though he's an apostle, knows he needs to pray for God to work. He's totally dependent on the life-giving power of his master. And so we read verse 40. Peter got down on his knees and prayed. Total submission, total dependence, total trust. Having prayed, we're then told that Peter, turning towards the dead woman, said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. What a beautiful, what an extraordinary moment. The apostle's trusting, obedient, dependent faith in the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus had been honored. And let's be clear, no such miracle after the earthly ministry of Jesus had ever been performed. The miracle of raising dead people back to life. This was a first in the history of the Christian church. When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter back to life, her parents were told were astonished, as they would have been. But Jesus then asked them not to tell anyone about the miracle, because he needed people to respond to his message of the kingdom of God and not get obsessed with his extraordinary miraculous powers. But here in Acts 9, Peter wants the ascended Lord to have all the glory. There's no need for silence anymore. Verse 41, he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented Tabitha to them alive. The widows, Tabitha's closest friends, who were wearing the clothes and robes that Tabitha had made for them, we see that from verse 39, they would have been totally overwhelmed. Well, who wouldn't be? And not surprisingly, news of the miracle spreads fast, maybe by word of mouth or perhaps the Joppa Gazette, we don't know. But the miracle became known, verse 42, all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Once again, this wasn't Peter's miracle, this was Jesus' miracle, and the people knew it. The Lord got the glory. Aeneas is healed from 8 years of paralysis. Tabitha is raised from the dead. People today might say to us, if things like that happened on a regular basis in Greater Melbourne, we'd really believe you, Christians. You could fill the MCG with new believers several times over every Sunday. I think my response to that comment would be, we have these true accounts of the miracles in the book of Acts. We have the accounts of the life, the claims, the teaching, the miracles, and the death and resurrection of Jesus in the Gospels. Now, of course, that doesn't rule out God doing extraordinary and miraculous things in the modern age. But people actually have all they need to believe. They simply need to be told the good news and to respond to it, acknowledging the lordship of Jesus. And what are the applications for us as God's people in the 21st century? I've got three. First, confidence in the lordship of Jesus. He has the power to transform and change lives. Aeneas can walk again. Tabitha is alive again. Jesus has authority over sickness and death. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that by the grace of God, he and his fellow apostles, like Peter, were also granted such authority. He writes, the things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. The second application is that prayer for healing is encouraged in the New Testament. And as a result of that, we here at St. Alfred's, from time to time, have times of prayer for healing. Just this past week, I was invited to someone's home to anoint them with oil and pray over them because they're very, very poorly. And they told me that they were just following the instructions in James chapter 5, where James writes, is any of you sick? They should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. When we pray for the sick, we leave the outcome to God. Sometimes he chooses to heal physically, at other times he chooses not to. But we are to trust him, knowing his will is good and always the best. In his excellent, brilliant researched, and very academic two-volume book on miracles, Craig Keener records the story of a woman who is healed through prayer from severe epilepsy and brain disturbance that had plagued her from the age of 6 to 26. Afterwards, her EEG scan was normal, and her doctors, unable to believe the change, repeated the test 2 more times over the next few weeks. Finally, they accepted she was well, but denied the possibility that she was healed through prayer, claiming she must have been misdiagnosed by specialist doctors for 20 years. But she and her praying friends knew the truth. That lady was wonderfully healed. But as the remarkable Christian author, speaker, and artist Joni Erickson Tada is able to accept, and she's paralyzed from the neck down, it's not God's will for all. For those that are healed, Johnny says, it's a sneak preview of heaven. And of course, she's absolutely right. And so to the final application, a glimpse of the new creation. The healings of Aeneas and Tabitha are pointers to the ultimate restoration of our fallen and imperfect world. When Christ returns, he will inaugurate a new heaven and a new earth, as 2 Peter 3 describes. Tabitha was raised to life, but like Lazarus before her, she would one day face death once more when it was her time. But as hers and Aeneas's stories, and of course the resurrection of Jesus, remind us, there is a new age to come. And so we are to be people of faith and hope. Our God is the God of eternal life and the God of ultimate restoration. Revelation chapter 21 tells us that in God's restored creation, there will be no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, and no more tears. You see, the best is yet to come.